And again, we have the Belgic Confession portion of Article 34, focusing on baptism. Let us read responsively. We believe and confess that Jesus Christ, who is the end of the law, has made an end by the shedding of his blood. Of all other sheddings of blood which men could or would make as a propitiation or satisfaction for sin, and that he, having abolished circumcision, which was done with blood, has instituted the sacrament of baptism instead thereof, by which we are received into the church of God and separated from all other people and strange religions, that we may wholly belong to him whose mark and ensign and which serves as a testimony to us that he will forever be our gracious God and Father. Have you ever wondered why in the Old Testament there was so much blood? There was such shedding of blood. If you read through Leviticus, if you go to the temple or the tabernacle, there was blood shed. Why? You ever wondered why? And then secondly, have you ever wondered why in the New Testament there's no shedding of blood? There's no use of blood after the death of Christ. You don't see that practice in the church. Well, the answer is because Jesus has fulfilled that which was pictured in the shedding of blood, pointing to his blood that was shed once for all, according to the writer in Hebrews. In the New Testament, we have sacraments, but we have sacraments that are without blood. Baptism is use of water. The Lord's Supper, although we have bread, we have wine, the wine is not blood. We don't drink blood. It doesn't change into blood, contra the Roman Catholics. Because Christ shed his blood once for all for the remission of sins. Have you ever thought about how wonderful that is? How in the Old Testament, I've thought about this once before, you take this sacrifice and sin offering was an expensive proposition, and you brought it to the priest and you laid your hands on the head of the animal and you confessed your sins, and that animal in a sense becomes you. And then you take the knife and you slit its throat and the animal dies in your place and the blood is captured and sprinkled. And then you walk out after it's offered, you walk out of the tabernacle or the temple and you sin again. Oh no, now I've got to get another one and start all over again. How costly that would be. How frustrating that would be. Jesus Christ died once for all our sins. And that is identified by baptism. It says in our Belgic Confession there, what? We are received into the Church of God and separated from all other people and, I like that statement, strange religions, or I would say man-made religions, that we may wholly belong to him whose mark and ensign we bear. We bear his name. And serves as a testimony to us that he will forever be our gracious God and Father. Baptism points not to what you do, but points to what God has done, is doing, and will do. Remember, when baptism was instituted and how it's practiced, we are passive. We don't baptize ourselves. We are baptized by another. That's how Jesus instituted. He points to that which is ultimately pointing to God. The minister is just representing God. And God is the one who is, in a sense, you could say, formally adopting. So our baptism is his certificate of adoption. A declaration to the world that we belong to Jesus. We belong to him. We're a child of God. Notice the statement again. It says, we are received into the church and separated from from all other people and strange religions. In the Old Testament, it's interesting that there's two places in the New Testament that refers to baptism. And what was the baptism? The first baptism was Noah's flood. Peter describes salvation, the eight were saved by water, saved in the ark. In the ark and through water, they were separated from all the other people, weren't they? The other declaration of baptism in the New Testament, referring to the Old Testament, is at the Red Sea. It says that Israel was baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What happened in that baptism? They were separated from the rest of Egypt, weren't they not? And so are we in Christ. We are separated from the world. That baptism identifies. And other religions, other people, even non-Christians, understand that. Why is it that when a Muslim comes to faith in Christ and is baptized, that there is a threat of murder, that he will die? Why is it that when a Jew becomes a believer in the Messiah and then is baptized, why is it that his family then has a funeral service and then treats him or her as if they already died? They understand the significance sometimes better than we do of what baptism points to, that we are distinguished from the world. We're set apart, identified with Christ. It is his baptism ultimately that our baptism points to, does it not? Amen? Amen.